Bears Talk is powered by Xfinity.
Here from PNC Studio at Hallis Hall, this is Bears Talk, and I'm Jeff Joniak, along with my broadcast partner, Tom Thayer, from News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM, WBBM. Mr. Tom Thayer, and another Tom in the building, the one and only Tom, Mr. Tom Waddle.
Fellas.
I don't even know how to introduce you because you have so many jobs, so you're just about everywhere. You
just
are the moth that roars.
Man about town. How about that?
Let's go. Moth roars. Yeah. I like that.
Hey, when the lights
radio,
come on.
ABC 7, yeah. ESPN television. You're always busy this time of year, certainly flying around the globe. Yeah. It must wear on you just a little
bit. It does a little bit, but I have a wife and four daughters, and it's not the least expensive thing in the world to kind of deal with all of that, so I try to stay
busy. Well, that's
busy.
How they define pressure. You want to know what pressure is, have a wife and four daughters.
There you
that's
go.
Pressure.
That's right. Third and six, trying to catch a pass between two middle linebackers. That's easy.
Thrown late across the middle.
We call those medicine balls.
Right.
I was on the receiving end of several of those.
I see your chin.
Yeah.
We have several topics, but before we dive into those, what's the national view inside the Bears organization from the outside?
I think the national narrative now is that this is a team that's in complete rebuild. And maybe when Fox and Pace got here, there was less in the cupboard than maybe they anticipated. So the rebuilding process was going to be more extensive and was going to take longer. And I think now there is some understanding that that is taking place. And then when you factor in the injuries that they have suffered, especially on the defensive side of the football, I think the expectation level is low. But hopefully we've seen some things from Jordan Howard and some of the other young players that you can cling to, and it really make you feel like the future will be brighter. But I think from a national perspective, the understanding is that the roster doesn't match up with the more competitive, more elite teams in the league, and the injuries compound the problem that exists.
Well, with a young team, you're looking for growth, then you compete, and then you hopefully be a playoff contender. That's a lot of time, and you sometimes can do it all in one season. We'll see if that transpires here over the rest of the grind. 1-4 start after the loss to the Indianapolis Colts. So let's break it down a little bit, because at one point in the fourth quarter, we're calling the game, and I'm looking. They have over 500 yards of offense. Where'd this come from, right? I didn't even realize it. That's how efficient Brian Hoyer was playing.
Right, but it shows you that although you're capable of putting up big numbers like that offensively, the Bears cannot afford a mistake in offense, defense, or special teams. And if they do go out and play a near-perfect game, you see the results like they showed against the Detroit Lions. Then the Detroit Lions go home and beat the Philadelphia Eagles that beat the Bears at home a couple weeks previous to that. So with the potential, with the young guys on there, on the roster right now, if you do go out there and play a mistake-free game, you can be competitive. And they showed it this week. It took it right down to the end. But when you look at 10 penalties for 80 yards, and you look at other miscues on offense, defense, and special teams, they're not that good unless they play a perfect game.
Yeah, I'm with you, Tom. Look, the margin for error is very slim, especially when you're on the road and your team's all banged up. On the positive side of things, you see Jordan Howard go for better than 100 yards for the second consecutive week. You see a young receiver in Cam Meredith have better than 100 yards as well. So you have a 100-yard rusher and a 100-yard receiver. But as you mentioned, the margin for error is very thin. And when you commit 10 penalties, and many of them were catastrophic in nature, and when you make mistakes on the special teams front, you have to hit that field goal. I mean, it's 48 yards. You're in a controlled environment. That's got to go through. And you can't lose the turnover battle on the road, which is what they did, the fumble by Meredith, who played a very good game. But it happens late in that game, changed the entire complexion of it. I thought that the game completely changed when the Bears went on a monster 96-yard drive to take the lead.
Yeah, and everybody on the 4-yard line.
Absolutely. And everyone on the sidelines got to be feeling great about things. And then the next thing you know, T.Y. Hilton and Andrew Luck are teaming up to ruin your afternoon. So that was obviously the inflection point in the game. But I'm with you 100%, Tom. When you don't stack up from a roster standpoint and you're dealing with injuries, you just cannot make more mistakes than your opponent expect to win.
Crazy thing about it, you hear it from the players. I mean, John Fox talks about it all the time. We don't have a lot of margin for error. Yeah. Now you're hearing the players repeat that same mantra, so to speak, in that locker room almost every day. they realize it.
Well, then John Fox's message is clear, and it is getting through to the players. They have to understand that they have to know their responsibilities according to every offensive play called in the huddle. Yep. They need to know their responsibility to every defense called in the huddle. And then when the special teams get on the field, they have to fulfill their obligations to complement the offense and defense. And so it is good that John Fox's message is getting to the players and they're understanding how important it is.
Yeah, I mean, the physical mistakes are going to happen. It's hard, as we've talked, to overcome them, especially when you're playing with second and third team guys. But the mental mistakes are inexcusable, and you just can't have it happen. And I think one happened on the final offensive play of the game as well. Brian played as inefficient a game as we've seen in a very long time.
On that play, I thought it was crazy. I told Tom the other day, I said, I still can't believe that the Colts had the gall, really, in that scenario, given the ability to high point balls and box guys out like Alshon, that safety did come off him.
As early as he did,
yes.
too.
So it really was a one-on-one matchup.
It wasn't a hidden coverage, and I believe Vontae Davis was the cornerback, and he has only been back for a short period of time because of injury. So, look, this isn't about beating Brian Hoyer up.
No.
He threw for, 400 yards, two touchdowns and no interceptions. But that can be the difference in the outcome of a football game. For whatever reason, you make the wrong read, and it leads to not executing and not making the play that puts you over the top.
Let's talk about our topic of Jordan Howard and Cam Meredith. I want to start with Meredith first because, obviously, being a wide receiver in your past, I think it's amazing that a guy who's played it for less than 3 years of his life was targeted 12 times, caught 9 balls for 130 yards and a touchdown. Yes, he did fumble on the 64th snap of his day. How remarkable is that in your opinion?
Yeah,
given
I think
the rawness of the position.
I think it's fantastic, and I think it bodes well going forward. These are all learning moments for him, but to have some success the way he had, got to take care of the football, as you mentioned. I think we saw him fumble against the Cowboys
a few weeks earlier.
Yeah, so that's something that they're going to have to focus on. But, in some of the isolation shots from the television copy, you can see he's a solid route runner as well. Catches the ball with his hands. Playing the wide receiver position, to me, is as much about feel as it is about athletic ability. And you can have all the athletic ability in the world, but if you don't have a feel for the position, you'll find yourself covered. You'll run into coverage. You'll find yourself in precarious situations just because you don't have that feel for the game. And early on with him, it looks like he gets it from that position. And it says a lot that Brian Hoyer trusts him the way that he trusted him, throwing him and targeting him the number of times you mentioned. So he's a very raw player, very athletic, but maybe a little more refined at this point than many expected.
Well, a comparison of raw. When you look at Kevin White, he on the roster 6'3", 217. Cam Meredith, 6'3", 207. Kevin White sat out his first NFL season. He's been around since training camp. What's the difference in raw between Cam Meredith and Kevin White?
It's a great question. We were talking about how, Kevin's had a rough ride, obviously, and I thought he was making strides. And I thought there were some isolation shots at him on the telecast, I believe it was against the Dallas Cowboys, that really showed him running routes efficiently and getting in and out of his breaks and stuff that I was very encouraged by. With that said, I think you make, just from the outside looking in, you can make the case that Cam Meredith is less raw than Kevin White, or at least it appears that way. Now, that's a silly comment for me to make, not being out of practice every day and seeing how they get through all of their different routes and all of the different things they're asked to do. But you can see, when I say raw, you can see the natural raw ability. He's got the size, the speed, the ability to high point the football. Now it's just about sanding down the rough edges. So I think some of that's still going on with Kevin White. Unfortunately, that will be delayed. But it looks to me like they're almost on the same developmental path.
Quite a path Jordan Howard's going on, fellas.
Oh, I love it.
I mean, showing he's a complete back. The chipping and the blitz pickup and the pass catching and the breaking tackles.
And the run path he's following is the point of attack, get to the second level and challenge tacklers beyond that level. And that's what I like to see out of Jordan Howard. Again, I talked about it earlier. You get up in the phrase of the zone blocking. I think a lot of running backs look back to where the other zone is if the point of attack is taken up. Jordan Howard doesn't do that. He has patience following his blockers, changing his body level, style, size, high and low, and is able to get to that second level. That's what I like about Jordan Howard. And You don't have to be a first round draft choice running back to be good and effective your rookie year. I think he is showing what good scouting does, and if you take advantage of a player that has a good, solid college career.
I'm with you, and I would think he is an offensive lineman's best friend.
Yes.
Because, as you mentioned, he's patient.
Oh, yeah.
And he makes the running game work because he understands. Again, he has a feel for his position, whereas somebody like Jeremy Langford, who's a little bit more raw, may not have that patience and then may be running up the back of a guard or a tackle instead of letting a play develop. I think the thing that has been equally impressive to me about Jordan Howard is the yards after contact.
Oh, yeah.
And
every
I don't
time.
Know about you guys, but if I'm playing safety or even linebacker in this league, you get to 57, 58 minutes of a game, and that dude's is humming at you. I don't know many guys raising their hand that want to hit him.
Yeah, a lot of people size. Put that in the cliche category, but it is reality.
Absolutely. He's a back that will wear you down, for sure.
All right. What's the positive message through 5 weeks, fellas?
Well, I think the positive message already, John Fox has kind of said it, understanding the importance of playing a good mistake-free football game. Then I think the positive message trickles down to the assistant coaches, position coaches, to make sure that they get everybody prepared in talking about how important the next play, the next game is, just as important as the ones they've already played. And then from the leaders inside this locker room, and I think you got some good leaders, in Trevathan, Jarrell Freeman, Akeem Hicks, Josh Sitton, it can develop into a leader,
Kyle Long,
and Alshon Jeffrey. So all the message has to be positive going forward because you can't dwell on the negatives. And if you do, everybody's going to get caught on that. So it is about keeping the message positive from the head coach on down.
To me, the 2016 season was about progress, improvement. I felt that you go from the 6-10 campaign of 2015 that maybe you're an 8-8 team in 2016, and now you're willing and able to scare people in 2017 just because of the overhaul that had to take place from a talent perspective. So I'm looking for progress. I'd zoom in on the offense and tell you that Jordan Howard is quality. I think Eddie Royal, we've seen this year, is the Eddie Royal I was hoping for in 2015. Unfortunately, he couldn't stay healthy, but Eddie Royal can play this game. Zach Miller can play this game. From guard to guard, you're as solid as any team in the National Football League, and the kid Whitehair, I'm sure, is going to continue to learn as time goes on. So there are some things to point to individually on offense that I think are very, very impressive. I'd zoom out on the defense. When you have guys healthy, when everybody's healthy, and that's a big F, and the NFL is all about, you know, your best ability is availability. You know, so when Pernell McPhee, if he can get back on the field, when Leonard Floyd can get back on the field and continue to learn, with Trevathan and with Freeman.
Eddie Goldman
and Bryce Callahan. If you can zoom out and kind of see through the rough moments that you're playing through now because of all the injuries, I see a defense that may not be at the Denver Bronco Minnesota Vikings level, but a defense that is going to do a heck of a lot more good than bad. They just need to get some guys healthy, but they've got some really interesting and really impressive pieces on
their
side.
They're an excitable group, and they like to hit you. I mean, that's for certain. And going into the Jaguars game at Soldier Field on Sunday, this is a team you better smack around a little bit, too, because everyone had kind of penciled this team as maybe the team to make the noise this season from the depths of destruction that has been that organization. And they've invested a lot of money in that team on both sides of the ball.
Yeah, living up to expectations, preseason expectations is a key here because they did spend so much money on the defense. But they have a quarterback who they say is a little bit like Roethlisberger, a little bit like Andrew Luck, stands 6'5". He's got a big, solid frame, willing to run the ball to get first downs. But, you know, he's still a guy that's developing. So if you can get in the way of a pass, if you can take some confidence away from him early, you can gain that, you know, that positive note that you need from the defensive side of the football here. You saw what they were able to do against Matthew Stafford. So those are the same expectations I have for the Bears' defense, is not to give this young quarterback any early confidence.
The individual pieces are fantastic.
Yeah.
I mean, you have 2,000-yard receivers from last year out on the edge. You've got a nice combination at running back and a quarterback that has a ton of potential. I think if you make that team go the length of the field, ultimately you could force them into mistakes. I don't think that the production has intersected with the potential. So I think it's a team that can be had. I would hope that the game plan is the game plan that we saw a couple weeks ago against the Detroit Lions. Come out, run the football, and stick with the run. That's the only thing. Look, it's hard to nitpick when a team puts up better than 500 yards of offense. So I'll be guilty of this. I just want to see more touches for Jordan Howard. I believe he had 16, you know, in the running game and three catches, I believe. Keep running that football. Move the pocket a little bit. It's not a dynamic defense. They give up a ton of points. This is definitely a team you can get the best of. You look at their roster, and, you know, you're like, wow, there's a lot of good pieces here. But the end, they're prone to making mistakes, and they haven't reached that potential.
All right, give me a key matchup, each of you. Start with you, Tommy.
Well, I'm going to go with the interior of the offensive line because this defense, they have some similarities to the Indianapolis Colts. There's going to be some carryover. But if you look at the nose guard specifically, they tilt the nose guard. So now that means there's got a big, better function between the guards and the center. You brought up Cody Whitehair. Yeah. I think the guy's upside is tremendous. Yeah. I see Pro Bowls in his future in numbers. And so now you're going to play against a player that really can factor in the interior of your running game because you got to run the ball more. But that one position in the way they move him can have a lot to do with maybe Cody's never seen this in his career. He's only had a limited time at center. So I think that battle is going to be interesting to pay attention to. I know it's not one of the high-profile battles, but it's going to be a huge factor
in the
outcome.
Where you cut your teeth and made your money, Tom. Right. I got you. Right. I feel you.
Look, I'm one that believes you have to run the football and stay committed to running the football. But there are moments when you have to throw it. And my hope would be this week that Alshon Jeffrey will find a favorable matchup on both sides, whether it's the rookie over across from him or it's somebody else. Alshon Jeffrey against a Jacksonville Jaguar cornerbacks, to me, is a matchup that favors the Bears. You don't force things, but try to get the ball to him, get Alshon going and feeling good about the situation. So I would say him against whatever cornerback is facing.
There are no 6'5 cornerbacks.
No, they're not.
So Alshon Jeffrey, you know, when you talk about his length, his ability to high point, you're talking about a catching at 6'8.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that matchup is always going to stand out to you.
Well, they seem to think that they've got a Seattle-type defense. They're certainly in scheme.
Ha!
Maybe, you know, they've invested a ton of money in it. Yes.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I love Malik Jackson, and he's an outstanding player. And they've got players at every level. But there's one guy on that Jacksonville defense that I think is really underrated, and that's Telvin Smith. I think he's one of the top linebackers in football, and he can be a game wrecker in many different ways. So you better be able to root him out, make sure he doesn't impact that game in a negative way for the Chicago
Don't
Bears.
Don't tell Paul Posluszny that.
Well, he's not bad either. Right. But he's on the other side of 30, so... All right, that's going to wrap us up for this week's Bears Talk. We appreciate the time of Tom Waddle.
Good
appreciate
to see you.
Love
Artist
hearing you break down the game.
I don't know
yes,
about that.
He's weathered but strong, folks. And Tom Thayer, of course. Thanks for watching, everybody.
Does that mean
Talk to you next
older?
Time on
means
Bears.
I should use some makeup next time, I think.